Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Rob and Pete get you set for the week ahead. Players to target on the waiver wire. Who will sustain production and who will falter? Plus, DFS plays and best bets for Monday and Tuesday. Ring the register.
What's up, everybody? Pete and Rob here on this Monday morning talking waiver wire, talking fantasy pucks, and everything crazy that happened over the weekend, Rob. We're trying to step back and digest and not exaggerate here, though, right?
I think it's worth noting that this kind of happens every single... No, it does happen every single year. About two or three games in, people on Twitter start freaking out. Oh, my God, my team's going to miss the playoffs. Oh, my God, do I need to drop this guy? Everyone can relax. It's been two or three games. There's at least 80 left. I mean, some teams like the Hawks have only played one game.
Yep, Flyers, Hawks, right? But, yeah, we've seen a ton of scoring from teams that we were low on, like Edmonton and Detroit, and then teams that we were high on, like the Sharks and the Stars, are both winless through three games, believe it or not.
They are both winless, and I would say it would be outlandish if we even mentioned the P word right now, playoffs, for either of those teams. They're very good clubs, so I wouldn't even want to dissect it.
Everybody needs to slow down. A couple thoughts from the weekend. Friday night, Sharks let me down. They have not won a game. That bothers me because I really was on them on Friday. And then the other note I'll have, which I think everyone who listens to the podcast knows, that I was gonna come out firing on a Monday with Cody Ceci. Exactly what I said. It's not too early for Cody Ceci. I was on him a couple months ago, and Cody Ceci is rolling in Toronto.
He's playing with Morgan Rielly, so saddle up. We're ready to go. Rack up some points here for Ceci. And Evander Kane will come back now, so maybe a little back to normalcy for the Sharks to fill in some of those holes in their top six, right?
Well, our producer's very clearly ahead of the curve on the waiver wire, but we'll bring in James Harding, who will be with us every Monday to break down the waiver wire. He writes a column for us at NHL.com/fantasy, top 10 waiver wire. He's the guy to hit up about it. So, James, how's it going, man?
I am looking forward to it, guys. And as the SNL skit said, let's do that hockey.
We will, starting this Monday morning. So James writes a waiver wire column for us. Find it every Monday morning on NHL.com/fantasy. Big line developments over the weekend. I think Detroit and the Rangers really stick out. What are you seeing in that Detroit line, and how can we tap into Anthony Mantha?
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Mantha, you saw what he did last year. He finally kind of took the step forward last season that we had all expected him to take. Second consecutive season, hitting 48 points. But 2 years ago, he did it in 80 games. Last year, he did it in only 67 games. So you can see that the 55 to 60-point potential is there right now. He's going to have another season on the line with Dylan Larkin. But the big development there, I think, is going to be that of Tyler Bertuzzi. When you look at what he's done so far, and he actually leads my list of waiver wire pickups so far this week, he had 5 points over the weekend, including a 4-point game in their win against the Nashville Predators on Saturday. He had 47 points in 73 games last season. So I think that that dynamic line there of Larkin, Bertuzzi, and Mantha, they're all so young and still developing so much that I think all three of them are going to be able to take a step forward this year. So I think if you have Anthony Mantha, you want to try and get one of Larkin or Bertuzzi on your roster as well, because I think that the three of them are just going to continue to develop going forward this season. Bertuzzi right now only 42% owned in Yahoo leagues, compared to his much higher owner percentage line mates there with Larkin and Mantha.
Now, James, I know it's only been two or three games here through the regular season, so when I look at your waiver wire list, who is a guy to you that can sustain this production over a full 82-game season?
Yeah, and that's kind of the biggest thing right now when you look at lists this early in the season, just about less than 10 games in, really even less than 15 games in, is kind of a good benchmark to keep in mind for whether or not you think a player can sustain their consistency or not, because we've seen a lot of guys come out over the years in October and into early November absolutely lighting the league on fire, and then they just completely fall off the rest of the season. and really don't do much. But I'm looking at two guys in particular, and it's Jacob Vrana from the Washington Capitals, and I think Pavel Buchnevich from the New York Rangers. When you look at Vrana, he's skating on their second line there. He's going to have exposure to TJ Oshie. Once Evgeny Kuznetsov comes back in game four this week for them, he will either be centering the top line, where he had been the last 2 years with Alexander Ovechkin and Tom Wilson, or he's going to slot into that second line center in between Vrana and Oshie. And if not, that's going to be Nicholas Backstrom. So you have two top centers that are going to be centering that line with Vrana and Oshie. And I think that Vrana is going to take that step forward this season. You look at what he's done already for them through their first couple of games, and he has, let me just pull up his numbers here real quick. He's got points in all three of his games right now, 2 goals, 1 assist, and 9 shots on goal. So I think that once he gets exposure to a guy like Kuznetsov or Backstrom for the remainder of the season, he definitely has 50 to 60 point potential skating there. And then Buchnevich, he always bounced around the lineup there for the Rangers. He was never given a consistent lineup placement the last few seasons there. He has so much talent, but he's also battled injuries a lot. So that's the thing with him. If he can stay healthy, he is a top six player. And right now, he has exposure to two of the best players in the league. They've combined for 12 points, Mika Zibanejad and their big offseason acquisition, Artemi Panarin, so far in just 2 games. Zibanejad has 8 points in that span so far. So if Buchnevich can stay there, that could be an incredibly dynamic line, and he's playing with two of the best playmakers in the NHL right now and over the last couple of seasons. So I think Vrana and Buchnevich have the opportunity, if they can stick in their lineup placements, to really be the guys who, throughout the entire season off of this early season list, can sustain a good amount of consistency for fantasy owners to target.
One thing with the Rangers, though, I mean, they played the Ottawa Senators, and then they played the Winnipeg Jets, who might have the worst defense in the league. So proceed with caution. Don't make any rash moves. And I saw a lot of questions over the weekend regarding Kaapo Kakko. People were saying, should I drop this guy? I would say a hard no on that one, because Buchnevich right now is on right wing one, power play one. Good chance Kakko takes at least one of those spots moving forward.
Yeah, and we weren't really expecting Kakko to come in and light the world on fire. We know what kind of talent he has, but I think anybody expecting him to have the breakout that his countryman Patrick Laine had a few years ago when he first burst onto the scene, it's two different situations. When Laine came in, Winnipeg was in a much better offensive situation than where the Rangers are right now. Kakko is not playing with Panarin and Zibanejad, and he's still kind of getting used to the North American style and using his speed and his power to his advantage. So I'm not dropping him at all, especially in keeper leagues. You know, he's going to be just fine. I think that he probably only has about a 30-goal potential this season. I'm pegging him more in like the 20 to 25-goal ceiling as a rookie, but I'm not dropping Kakko at all. And if you're in a keeper league and you're considering dropping Kakko, you might want to drop your keeper league. But I definitely am not jumping off that bandwagon yet. It's 2 games. He's only had 3 shots on goal. You got to give him about 10 to 15 games to get comfortable at the NHL level before you even think about moving him off of your roster in non-keeper leagues.
Kevin Shattenkirk and Cody Ceci are the two defensemen you wrote about on the list. I just have to give a shout-out to our producer who was on Cody Ceci before the season started. But, James, out of those two guys, would you be more inclined to pick up one or the other?
Well, I picked up Kevin Shattenkirk in one of my fantasy leagues over the weekend, and he immediately paid dividends on Sunday, scoring another goal. I think that when you look at his production over the last couple of years with the New York Rangers, he just wasn't a system fit there. I just think that he wasn't deployed properly. They didn't have the offensive talent around him. You know, when you talk about a player like Kevin Shattenkirk, the numbers that he put up when he was in St. Louis and his brief time with Washington, they were in a system that fit him, and he was with offensive players that he could feed off of. He's not going to be one of those offensive defensemen who's going to dominate like a Brent Burns or an Eric Carlson or even his current defensive pairmate, Victor Hedman. So I think when you look at him, he's a complementary offensive defenseman. And mm-hmm. so he needs those pieces around him in order to be successful. And I think that Tampa Bay was absolutely the perfect situation for him to land in this offseason. And so when you look at it, the fact that they're paying him less than $2 million and he's the number one defenseman on the right side for them, skating opposite Victor Hedman at even strength, he's on the second power play unit there. He's getting a lot of exposure to the elite offense that we know the Tampa Bay Lightning are. I just think that when you look at Toronto and you look at the fact that they have Morgan Riley, Tyson Barry, and Jake Muzzin all ahead of Cody Ceci, mm-hmm. I think Ceci's definitely going to get a number of points. I think he's going to set a career high in points this season, finally break that 30-point barrier. But Kevin Shattenkirk has 50 to 60-point potential playing in that offense if he can sustain it with the exposure to all of the elite forwards that you have down in Tampa Bay. So I'm jumping on Kevin Shattenkirk, but I don't think you can go wrong with either one of them if you need Cody Ceci as like a depth defenseman in a deeper league.
For sure, and sticking with defense, I mean, this Winnipeg situation, now Josh Morrissey got injured in warm-ups on Sunday. He might be out. He's day-to-day for now, but where are you looking? Are you taking this Ville Heinola for real, this 18-year-old kid that's playing big minutes and racking up assists right now?
You know, I think that he definitely has a lot of potential there. He seems to have a very good rapport with Patrick Laine, but I don't know how much I trust him just yet long term. I think depending on how long Morrissey is out right now, Neil Pionk is definitely, I think, a safer option on the Winnipeg blue line. But if you're trying to decide which depth Winnipeg blue liner you're going to pick up, I think your fantasy team is in a little bit more trouble than even the Winnipeg defense is. That's saying something right there. I think that there are better options out there right now on the waiver wire. I'm looking at somebody like Hampus Lindholm out in Anaheim. I think he's mm-hmm. going to take a step forward this season. I think even Matthias Ekholm from Nashville is available in a large number of fantasy leagues right now. So I think that there are better options out there just because I don't fully trust whether or not these defensemen from the Jets are going to be able to step up and produce the offense that we're used to seeing from the guys like Dustin Byfuglien and Jacob Trouba, who they've had in the past. So I'm hesitant on either one of Pionk or Heinola right now, but I would say that if this kid Heinola keeps it up, then yeah, definitely keep him on your watch list and on your radars, but I'm not running to the waiver wire to pick him up just yet.
Carter Hutton leads the list for goalies, James. For Buffalo, off to another hot start like last year, would you drop maybe a Corey Schneider or a Mackenzie Blackwood to pick up Hutton, or would you give those guys a chance?
I may consider dropping Blackwood just because Schneider has looked very solid so far in their first handful of games, but I don't know how much I still trust Buffalo's defense long term. We saw what Hutton did last season. He started off very strong again, tapered towards the end of the year, but we do know that he is going to be the number one goaltender there. He started 50 games for Buffalo last season, and I think that with the injury concerns to a guy like Schneider, you're always a little hesitant to figure out if he's going to be a good standalone fantasy option anymore. If you have Schneider and Blackwood together, I'm not dropping either one of them because I think you want the handcuff there, and I think that the Devils are going to take that step forward this season. But if you had one or the other and Hutton was available in your league, yeah, I would consider dropping either one of those guys for Hutton if we're talking about a standalone option. But I wouldn't break up a handcuff if you have the Devils goaltending situation on your roster.
Hey, James, so the small Monday slate is intriguing. You have two guys that you penciled in, value wings. There's Ilya Mikheyev for Toronto, faces the St. Louis Blues. And in that same game, Sammy Blais, two-point game Saturday. Which do you like more, Mikheyev or Sammy Blais, as a value pick to start up your roster for Monday?
I think I like Sammy Blais more. He is getting a slightly larger opportunity skating on the second line in St. Louis right now with Ryan O'Reilly and David Perron. He skated there for much of their Stanley Cup run last season as well in the playoffs. He had one goal and one assist over the weekend against Dallas. He had a goal in their season-opening loss against Washington last week. He just looks like he's about to finally take that step forward. And I think that in a matchup like this, I'm still not 100% sold on Toronto as a great defensive team. Mm-hmm. So I think that this has the chance to be a little bit of a higher scoring game. I think that he's just going to see more opportunity in this game to produce than Mikheyev. But I do like Mikheyev. And if you are looking for a value stack, I like Mikheyev with his center, Alexander Kerfoot. There, he had a three-point game over the weekend. So I like that as a value stack, but if I'm going standalone option, I'm going Blais over Mikheyev for tonight.
Good stuff, James. And you can find him on Twitter at jharding_hockey. We look forward to this all season long on Mondays, James.
Yeah, man.
Great, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me. Can't wait to be on next week.
So thanks again to James for joining us. And we were talking a lot about Jets defensemen. It's been a big storyline here. They've been giving up a lot of goals, gave up four to the Islanders. Actually had a nice little comeback against the Devils. Maybe we'll get to that a little later from the Devils' standpoint. But on defense, you have to wonder if they're maybe pushing the trade button early this week and maybe looking at Rasmus Ristolainen.
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, they clearly need help. I don't think you need a PhD in anything to figure that one out.
No, the Winnipeg Jets came in with a lot of discrepancies on defense, and it's the matters have only gotten worse between Byfuglien and Morrissey. But yeah, I think that team is, I mean, we picked them to miss the playoffs, both of us, right? And we're not having any regrets.
Yeah, I think it's just too early to be talking about any of this. I mean, hey, if Big Buff comes back, things could look up there in Winnipeg. So one thing you do need to pay attention to when looking at the waiver wire is games played per week. I know we were talking about the Rangers a lot, but they only play one game this week. So if you're running out to grab Pavel Buchnevich, you might not see that impact right away.
I saw something like three games in the first 2 weeks or something. That's, yeah, you have to be aware of that stuff. And, you know, some teams out there like Vegas, if you're into Cody Glass, they have four games this week. So that should be a nice tiebreaker for you if you're considering dropping somebody else in favor of these players. So, yeah, just something to keep in mind on the waiver wire. But, yeah, some really good stuff over the weekend. And one guy we didn't get to with James that you should be considering to add is Ilya Samsonov after that big debut on Friday night.
Definitely. Absolutely go grab Samsonov. I think he's going to make definitely give you some dividends for season long. But one more thing about these games played is it's important for DFS too. A team like Calgary has four games this week. If Sean Monahan gets off to a good start early in the week, you're going to want to put him in your lineup at least the next two games. We saw that with the Rangers last week. Zibanejad, rocket start, getting in. If you would have put him in your lineup the next two games, you would have paid you would have had big returns in DFS.
And we've seen big returns from Victor Olofsson as well. I know we were talking about Hutton and the Sabres hot start, but they dropped seven goals on the Devils, who we were kind of high on all off season long, and Olofsson is off to a fiery start on the line with Eichel and Reinhart.
Victor Olofsson's actually a guy I have in my DFS lineup on Monday night. I'm also doubling down on the Sabres. I've got Sam Reinhart going too. They're playing Columbus, and again, not to beat a dead horse here, way too many offseason changes for that team, and I think it's really disrupted their start to the season.
Yeah, with how Pittsburgh's offense is beleaguered right now, even after the injury to Malkin mid-game the other day, Pittsburgh dropped seven goals on them. That's not a nice indictment on the Columbus situation moving forward. So totally, but Pittsburgh actually has four games this week, and the other teams with four this week, Calgary, LA, Pittsburgh, Vegas, and Winnipeg. So teams that you can cherry pick and find a player on the waiver wire to help you win your league.
And St. Louis-Toronto should be an interesting contest Monday night. I'm definitely needing Austin Matthews' exposure. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I'm going to spend up for him. I kind of like to fade those guys that got off to a hot start. You know, it might not be totally sustainable with the crazy eclipse that he's going right now. So I at least want William Nylander in my lineup to ensure that if Austin Matthews does have a big game, I'm at least getting something from it.
And I like the cheap exposure to Toronto's offense, either Andreas Janssen or Kasperi Kapanen, who had some mistakes, to say the least, in that game against Montreal over the weekend. So maybe he comes back stronger in this matchup against the Blues.
And let's be honest, the only way to win a two-game slate is really to go heavy on one team and hope they knock it out of the park. So the two teams I would take tonight would be Buffalo and Toronto. I know if Dave Satriano is listening to the program, he's going to be upset with me for picking Toronto again. But how can you pick against this team at this point in the season? They look like they're off to play serious hockey this season. So I'm going big-time Toronto and Buffalo.
And Buffalo's found some continuity in the Lions. And you mentioned Sam Reinhart. He was a guy that maybe we underestimated in the offseason just because we weren't sure who was going to be playing center, if he was going to be moved off Eichel's line, in which case his value would plummet, but had 65 points last year and could take it a step further if that line and balanced scoring is even better.
He will definitely take a step forward. And then when we turn ahead to Tuesday, there is a lot of games as per usual on Tuesday. One interesting matchup, I think, is Winnipeg versus Pittsburgh. We're not going to get back into the Winnipeg defense thing here, but Pittsburgh is a team that looks to kind of take the monkey off their back. The scoring started to flow a little bit. Sidney Crosby fought Pierre-Luc Dubois over the weekend, which is absolutely mental. So I would look at Pittsburgh at home to kind of keep that thing going, regardless if Malkin is in or out of the lineup.
Yeah, Winnipeg had to pull off a miracle just to get a point on that three-game New York City road trip. So not too good for them. Jared McCann, we should mention, was playing, even though he was playing away from Crosby for a while, 2 goals, 1 assist on Saturday against the Blue Jackets. So someone to consider. And he also has that familiarity with Crosby. If they swap the lines, throw him into a blender, chances are McCann will come through for you.
And I do think the Sharks are going to break through and get their first win on the road in Nashville. Evander Kane is a player you have to look at for him to make his debut. And then Erik Karlsson, he did look good the other night in their loss. I think that's a player that can really step up, take the team, put it on his back, and win that hockey game.
And Kevin LeBanc, too. He's been mostly on the third line in his usual spot with Thornton, but he will be integrated more into the top six, especially after Kane is back, will bring some stability to the group, and they can mix and match LeBanc at even strength. And he's on the power play anyway, so I really like that one. In terms of Evander Kane and Evgeny Kuznetsov both coming back from suspensions, who do you like more in terms of building your lineup around?
Well, certainly Kuznetsov. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. He definitely has been watching the Washington Nationals, some funny clips on Twitter about that. But I do think Kuzi's a guy that really has it in him to play at around a 90-point pace, and I think you're going to see that from game one on.
And the Washington Capitals are playing the Dallas Stars, who we mentioned are winless, but Roope Hintz has been great, right? 3 goals. He had 2 on Sunday night against the Detroit Red Wings. That was all Red Wings, but he has been the only guy bringing it every single night for the Dallas Stars, which is great for him, great for people who took him as a sleeper, but not great for like the Jamie Benn owners and the Joe Pavelski owners.
Well, it's funny because if he keeps scoring, the Stars aren't going to win. They need their top guys to start scoring. So if you're asking me on Twitter, which a lot of people have, oh, should I drop this? You know, like let's say a Dylan Strome was a question I got. Dylan Strome versus Roope Hintz. I would still say Dylan Strome. Keep him in your lineup. That's a 70-point player right there. We don't know if Hintz is. I like Hintz a lot, but it's been 3 games. You got to give these teams like the Blackhawks, et cetera, a chance.
Who do you like more on Edmonton's side? Because they've been scoring a ton of goals, 9 in their first 3 games, and they have Cassian playing mostly with McDavid and Draisaitl, and then they also have James Neal on power play 1, and he dropped 2 power play goals on Saturday.
I actually like Cassian a lot. I know that's going to surprise people hearing that, but he covers every single category. He's got hits and blocks too, which in your head-to-head weekly matchup is really what's going to make the difference for you. If you win one or those two boxes, and let's say you know your players didn't score that week, your top fantasy players didn't have a goal that week, you're going to lose that category, but you'll win hits and blocks with Cassian.
Another category coverage guy that I like is Erik Haula for the Carolina Hurricanes. He brings faceoff wins. He's been scoring power play goals for that team, and that team is like the comeback kids, right? The Carolina Hurricanes. Isner was texting me over the weekends talking about how Tampa Bay is out of sorts. Tampa Bay didn't have a shot on goal in the second period of that game.
Interesting. We'll definitely keep tabs on these DFS slates and these season-long formats right now, because You cannot afford to make a boneheaded waiver wire move, so definitely hit us up on Twitter before you do anything outlandish. I'm at NHL Reese. Pete's at NHL Jensen, and we're both at NHL Fantasy.
And check out our coverage on NHL.com/fantasy. We have our ranking stories coming back this week, so we're going to be ramping that thing up. Stay tuned for that. Check out the other podcasts in our network, NHL Executive Suite and NHL at the Rink. We'll talk to you guys again on Thursday. So until next time, for Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.